The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfy with RE/MAX, the Golfy team. Welcome to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, with host Rick Zamprin.
Good morning and happy weekend once again. Thanks for climbing on board for another edition for the Golfy Real Estate Show. Hamilton Edition, 900CHML is the place to be. And I'll tell you where the place to be is if you want to get your home sold in this spring market. That is the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. That's 905-575-7700. You will not only be calling the Golfy team, you will be contacting the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. Online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. They're all over TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, X, Threads. And for an instant home estimate, go online to golfyhomevalue.com. That's golfyhomevalue.com for an instant home estimate. Lots of things happening in real estate in the market. We'll get to that today. We'll talk about some million-dollar listings in which Canadian communities, which markets out there across this great country have the biggest share of million-dollar listings. We're also going to talk about mortgages. How long should we be going? And should we be embracing the 30-year mortgage? We'll talk about the digital landscape and whether or not real estate agents really serve a purpose. I'm sure Mr. Golfy has some words on that topic. And we'll talk about garden suites. If you visited the National Home Show in Toronto either last week or this weekend, garden suites are being promoted at the show. We'll talk about that on the program here too. But to begin today, as we usually do, what is happening, Mr. Golfy, in your real estate life?
Well, I'll start off to talk about a little bit about the market, and it's actually picked up quite a bit. And we're finding that, some properties are selling under multiple offers. So I get it why they're not reducing the interest rates right now. And who knows if they will, to tell you the truth, just because of the fact if they did it now, we'd be back in a frenzy of people buying real estate. And it's already, picked up quite a bit. And that would cause chaos with the real estate market. But the market is doing well if it's priced well. We're starting to see the prices sliding up slightly, not crazy, slightly. And I think the worst is behind us. The inventory is very finicky. The inventory is getting tougher and tougher because there's not that much up there for sale. And the buyers are finally accepting whatever the interest rates are now. The consumer confidence is good. People are thinking, okay, you know what? It is what it is. And, it's a line everybody uses. And if they come down, great. If not, we have to live with it because everybody else does. And they just got to buckle down and they just can't, spend that excess of money that they can't afford those extra perks, going to restaurants or buying, expensive clothes or anything like that. They're just going to have to, just live a normal life like everybody else does. But the market is picked up. And I'm not, I mean, real estate agents are always saying it's a good time to buy, a good time to buy. A great time to buy was actually November, December of last year. That was a fantastic time to buy. Right now, the housing prices are still relatively stable. So if you're jumping in, it's a good time to jump in because in 5-10 years from now, the values of these properties are going to, still climb with the amount of immigrants and migration that's happening in Canada, especially in Southern Ontario.
You mentioned the interest rate factor in the Bank of Canada. There has been a lot of talk that this is the year that the rates are going to start to go down. Some people saying it's going to happen in the spring, although that seems to be not an option that is going to happen. Others say, you know what, it'll probably happen in the summer. And even some economists or some economic pundits are saying, most likely in the fall. And you just mentioned it might not happen at all this year, because let's just say the Bank of Canada tomorrow said, hey, listen, we're going to cut it by a quarter percentage point. How many people would be calling the Golfy team at 905-575-7700 to either say, hey, let's get our home on the market, or hey, let's start looking in earnest now for that, a relatively good priced home? Like, your phone would be ringing off the hook.
It would. And that's why they're not doing it now, because it'd be crazy. And I'm thinking, if it continues like this, they're going to be afraid of another boom happening. And everybody thinks the houses are overpriced as it is, which they are expensive compared to what was before COVID, but it would just drive the prices up. But here's the other problem. They need to do something, because the builders they're not selling, and people are afraid to make a commitment on a project. It's, you know, like if it's a detached home or a townhouse, usually they can build them within, 8 to 10 months. But on these condos, I think the condo developers, I don't know. I think they're going to be a little scared. The people buying as investment, because that's a 3-4 year commit, like down the road, that you don't know what's going to happen with the market. But we all know the market's always gone up if you go back in history of the last 100 years. But it is a tough situation. But they need to drop the rates so builders can start building, because they're not, you know, it's expensive to build right now.
We have in the past, we haven't done this in a while, talked about different types of homes and how much more or less popular they are. For example, a bungalow on the Hamilton Mountain, always ultra popular. At this stage in the game, with rates where they are, with the supply levels where they are, with the number of buyers kind of in or not in the market, does it really matter? Like, are people looking for a specific type of home, or they just want to get in?
So first-time buyers just want to get in. Retirees, people in their 50-plus or 50-plus years old, they're looking for a bungalow. So the first-time buyer sometimes is competing against the older buyer that's probably on their third or fourth house in their lifetime. And it's hard to beat those, because they've got the money. They're probably leaving a house that's paid for, and they're saying, you know what, this is the last house I'm living in. I don't care if I pay $5,000-$10,000 too much, because it doesn't matter to me, because this is where I'm going to end up dying in this house. And I've heard that line many times, mm-hmm, from a lot of retirees that say, hey, I don't care what I pay. This is it. My kids are going to sell it. They can figure it out after I'm dead. But yeah, they're going to be competing against the buyer that is retiring and just want, you know, health reasons too. Obviously we get older, we get slower, our bones are hurting, and you know, we've had some issues health wise. So we're competing against the first time buyers competing against that person. But the first time buyer just wants a house, whether it's a two story, a bungalow, a raised ranch, or whatever. They just want a nice house to move in so that they could be proud of.
Yeah. Earlier this week, we had the 4-year anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring the COVID-19 pandemic. It was 4 years ago. I think it was on Tuesday or whatever. And we recall once the market kind of took off, that one of the prized possessions when it came to real estate was homes with swimming pools. People were spending a lot more time at home. They were working from home, certainly, and many are still doing that. But pools became a hot commodity. Fast forward 4 years now, is that still a big lure or a big drawing card?
It was a huge lure during the COVID years, and it actually the value of a house with a pool increased more than it did before COVID. So before COVID, if it had an in-ground pool, it gave some value to it. And it's hard to gauge how much. Like, it could have been an extra $5,000-$10,000. But now with the pool, it is definitely a lot more than it was before COVID. Like people now are saying, hey, what if this happens again? Because it's still fresh in our minds, mm-hmm, of what happened with COVID. Now, if COVID happens again, everybody's going to ignore it, because everybody just, it's like, yeah, okay, I don't care what disease it is. I'm going out. I'm going to the grocery store. I'm not wiping my hands. I'm not, wearing a mask. Like, it's going to be totally different. But pools are still at added value. Like, I mean, if you put $100,000 in your backyard, you know, with landscaping and a pool, you're not going to get that $100,000. But you will get probably $25,000 from it. Now, before, it wasn't $25,000, maybe $10,000 more. But now people are looking for houses with pools. But most people, when they buy a house, they weren't looking for a house with a pool. So those people they have to decide whether they want the house or not. But if the house is so beautiful, the pool's a bonus. But the ones that are looking for a house with a pool, yeah, definitely there's value and they want that because it's cheaper to buy a house with a pool than it is putting a pool in your backyard.
Looking back 4 years ago, how crazy was it? Like in the thick of a pandemic, 2020, you know, April 2020, everything's shutting down. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, some people thinking, oh, this will be a couple of weeks and we'll be back. A couple of months, we'll be back to the normal. And, you know, 4 years later, we're kind of recollecting at the madness that was the early days of the pandemic.
It was. I'll never forget. It was the middle of March. And then, you know, everything was all over the news that everything's shutting down. Airplanes are coming back from all different countries. And everybody had to scramble and get back from wherever they are around the world. Otherwise, they were going to be stuck in that country for a while. And I do remember that. The one thing I do remember, though, is my leadership team, I said to them, I go, guys, listen, if we're going down, the whole world's going down. So I said, you know what I mean? Like it is, it's true. So I basically said, I'm not losing any of my leadership team. I'm saying, I'm still going to pay them. I said, I was strong enough in my accounts to make sure that I kept my staff so that we can continue it, on with business, even though business almost shut down. And then it started picking up. So there was a good almost 60 days there that I'm like, okay, I'm carrying this business. And I mean, if it went past 6 months without really any sales or anything like that, definitely we would have been in trouble. There's no doubt about it. And I think a lot of people did get in trouble. Yeah. And even with the benefits of loans and everything like that from the government, a lot of restaurants are closing up now because of COVID. It finally caught up to them.
Yeah, it's amazing to think how, you know, 4 years later, the ripple effects economically, certainly in the work-life balance, they changed and they changed forever. I mean, I recall, you know, one day having 30, 40 people in this building here at the radio station, and the next day there was like 8. And it hasn't changed for many people out there. Now, happily that things are somewhat back to normal, that's still in the back of our mind. And I know that some scientists and healthcare professionals are thinking, you know, the next one is right around the corner, so be prepared. So at least we've gone through it and maybe have learned some lessons to do it a lot better the next time. Coming up next here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, we're going to talk about, Rob has a story about removing a safe, and we're also going to highlight an upcoming market watch that's going to be in a mailbox near you. That is next, coming up on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy. We were on with Phil last week. Sales representative Remax Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. Call them today, 905-575-7700. That's 905-575-7700. You'll be calling the number one Remax team in Canada. Find them online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. And check them out on X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, you name the social media platform. They have some awesome listings on those platforms. If you have a question or a topic idea for the Golfy team you'd like addressed on a future program, send them an email, questions@robgolfy.com. So let's get into your story about removing a safe. This sounds interesting.
So I buy this building in St. Catharines, right? And it was the old CA building, which they would keep the passports in there and everything. So the one thing I regret not doing is I should have had them remove it. And you'll understand the story as I'm telling the story. So I said, you know what, don't worry about it. We'll keep it. And I figured I might be able to sell it for $500 or something like that. I wasn't sure because people are always looking for a safe. And the safe was about the height, it was about 5 foot tall, you know, pretty wide. It was a big safe. Like it's not something you need some guys to move this.
Yeah.
So I'm doing work on it. We put it on Marketplace and everything, and I'm not getting anything. And then I got to a point where I put it on Marketplace, best offer. Like even if they gave me $5 for it,
just get it out of here.
So Yeah, just get it out of here because we're starting to close in everything, and this safe has to leave, get out of this building. So I wasn't getting any bites on it. So we started calling some people to remove this safe. And so I negotiated $1,000 for someone to move it. So they do this. So they looked at the picture and everything. No problem. We're going to go. And then they call me back and said, Rob, we can't move this thing. We need more guys and we need different equipment. I go, are you kidding? And I go, holy smokes. So they go, we need now to get rid of this thing is costing me $2,500.
Oof, wow.
And originally I negotiated $1,000, but when they got there was nothing. So they needed more guys. And they needed a different truck, and they needed to buy equipment to lift this thing onto a truck. this is becoming a full day thing. They had to go to Toronto, all these guys and everything, and it turned into a 2-day job. And so finally, they got the equipment to load it onto a truck. So they lift this thing. I don't know what equipment they use. I wasn't there for it. They put this on the truck. The truck is practically like it's sitting in the back and the truck can't even move. It hit the tires. Like the springs hit the tires and they're going, Rob, we need to get another vehicle.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going, oh boy, this thing is becoming a nightmare for me now. So anyway, they said tomorrow we're going to come back with a different truck so we can load it that can handle this. This was a safe that was probably, 3,000 pounds. It had concrete all around it and everything, like inside, like it embedded it in around it. So if there was a fire, it would not destroy anything in that safe. So they finally, they get this thing onto a bigger heavy duty truck or whatever, and they put it on there and they get rid of it. And I'm like, $2,500 later. Can you believe that? And I thought, hey, that's a nice safe. Somebody will want it. I could just put it on a dolly and just wheel it out and no problem. This thing, I didn't realize. I should have put in the contract, safe must be removed from property prior to closing. And I didn't do that. And I learned my lesson on that. So anybody that's listening, you're buying, if you want the safe and it's in a safe place that you're not going to, build around it. Like if it's in the basement buried, no problem. If it's in the garage, no problem. But if it's going to be in a room where you're going to build an office around it and it's going to take up a lot of room, make sure you put in the contract to get rid of that safe. Because I learned a valuable $2,500 lesson that I had to find somebody to get it. And I called my guys to go there. They go, Rob, we can't even budge this thing. Like they didn't have it. Like I called my staging crew to see if they can move it. There's no way. You needed special equipment and special people to remove this safe. So, that's the one thing. If you see something you think you can make money on, don't. Don't ever do that. So get rid of it. Make sure it's in the contract. Remove safe from premises prior to completion date. That's the line you got to use.
I love your ambitious nature and trying to make, even $100 on this thing. Was there at any point as you're ordering new trucks, the price is going up, was there at any point that you thought to yourself, maybe I'll just keep this thing and just, put it stage it in the room?
I would have kept it, but it didn't fit anywhere where I needed it because I needed the space because we're subdividing like all these offices in this one building.
Right.
And it would have been in the way, but I thought there was like, maybe I could have brought it to my house and put it in the garage. And because there's no way anybody's going to be able to steal this safe, even if they had 2, 3, 4 guys, like you needed special equipment. There's no doubt about it. Like, and so if somebody's going to, and that, I'm the wrong safe to steal. Now at my Markland office, I do have a big safe, heavy duty. Like it's got like a big door to open up and then it's got 4 more steel doors inside.
Oh, okay.
Like, and then I got a walk-in safe in this building. Like it's, I love when I take people for a tour in my Markland office downtown Hamilton, and I show them the safe, like it's a walk-in safe. They go, wow, like it is funny to see like a big steel heavy-duty door, and you open it, it's got the combination, and then you got another, and it's got another steel door inside that door that you have to open up and unlock. Like I'm telling you, back those days. In the early 1900s, late 1800s, these people that lived in this area Kirkland area. I'm telling you, they must have had a lot of money because these guys had walk-in safes. they kept their cash there.
That building, that safe was already in the building when you guys moved in?
That safe, the walk-in safe was already, it's like a built-in safe in the building. And then I've got another safe in the garage that's the way it's set up in the garage. It's perfect. Again, you would need like a crew of six guys to get move that and a tow motor to move that safe.
Oh, okay. We don't want to give anybody any ideas. So
I just gave everybody the idea.
That's a lot of work.
That's it. Okay, guys, Markland, we need a tow motor. We need six guys. Okay.
That's a lot of work. Hey, I want to ask you about the Golfie team Market Watch. It's coming out in mailboxes sometime soon. What's going to be in it?
Yeah, you should be getting it right now. If you haven't got it, you'll either get it today, tomorrow, or early next week, but that's all out. It'll give the stats of last month and the last 6 months, just to give you a general idea what's going on. Look us up if you want a home evaluation. Our phone number's on there. We can give you an idea what's going on with the market and with your house. Things are moving right now. So if you're looking at selling, timing is really good right now in all areas, in the Hamilton, Niagara, Brantford, and Hamilton area. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With the the hints that interest rates might be coming down, who knows when, but are you finding that more people are just contacting your office just to say, hey, can you do a home evaluation? What do you think my home could be worth if I do put it? Are people kind of, is their interest been piqued by the talk of potentially lower interest rates?
There is, and people are like, I had one person in on the mountain. They have a beautiful house, and I went and looked at it, and they're looking at having a house built for them, right? It's from a reputable builder in the area, but it's not going to be ready till next year. But I wanted to give them, they wanted a number today to see, what they're going to look at when they're picking their upgrades and everything on their house. And I said to them, I go, look, I probably would list at 1.7, but you're probably going to sell somewhere at 1.6 to 1.65. But I said, if you really wanted to work your numbers, so that exactly what you're working with, so there's no surprises. I'm not giving you fictitious numbers and trying to impress you because I want your business. I said, work your numbers backwards from 1.6. But I said, if you can work out with your builder to close the deal in May or June of next year, that means you put your house up for sale February, March, you will be doing way better than what I'm saying your house is worth right now. So I said, so try to get a closing date of a June closing date next year. And if he can do that for you, I said, you're doing good. Now, if he's going to do a closing date, let's say February, March, and then you have to sell in November, December, that is not good. I totally advise them, don't ever do that. So he's taken my advice on that, and he is going to try to get a June closing of next year, and he's going to put his house on the market in February, March of next year. Hmm. And he'll do well on the sale.
Is that timeline kind of rare? Are people that prepared?
He just wants to know what he can work with.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
Like if I went there and I said, your house is worth $2 million, which is not real. And if he took that advice from the wrong person, he could be in a lot of trouble. So again, when next year comes along, he's thinking it's $2 million and maybe it's only 1.65 or maybe 1.7 million. He's $300,000 off the mark. And that could really, drive a guy to go mad. And I've seen that happen before. So you got to make sure you get the right realtor with the right number and be good about it. Now, if you deep down inside think it's too good to be true and the agent gives you a high number and you're like, wow, okay, I'll take that. Everybody, it is too good to be true. It's not going to happen. And this is a story that happened many years ago. This realtor sold this guy a house. He bought a house, and the value of the house that he bought was $275,000. Okay. And he goes, okay, $275,000. Perfect. The realtor told him his house was worth $350,000. Okay, he goes, perfect. I sell my house for $350,000. I got lots of money. I can finish the basement of this house that I'm going to buy for $275,000. No problem. Mm-hmm. And okay, so he ends up buying the house with no conditions for $275,000. Now he puts his house up for sale for $350,000. And nothing's happening. And he's just going, what's going on? What's going on? And so he calls me up. He's not listed with me. He calls me up. This is many, many years ago. And I said, listen, I can't really discuss with you about your property because you're under contract with another agent. I can't interfere with that. But I just said, you're going to be very disappointed at the outcome once you sell your house. And he goes, what? it's like I'm reading the crystal ball. And so anyway, over time, about another month goes by, I guess he fires his real estate agent, calls me up. And I go there, and I knew he's not going to be happy with the number I'm going to give him. And I said, your house is worth $300,000. He goes, Rob, I would not have bought that other house for $275,000 mm-hmm. and put $25,000 in renovating the basement. That's a lateral move. I basically, it was a waste of money. And I go, yeah. And I says, chances are you would not have bought that house with me. Chances are you still be living, staying in this house and you wouldn't have motivation to sell, or you would have bought a $225,000 house or whatever. Yeah. And so anyway, very upset guy. And I said to him, I said to him, your house is going to sell for $300,000. So I said, why don't you try selling privately and see what you can do, you know, and save some money. So he tried privately at $320,000, nothing happened. So he calls me back. Now, closing date's coming up, right? And he calls me back, and I said, if you $300,000, can you list that at $320,000? I said, I'll list at $320,000. So we listed at $320,000, and about two and a half weeks go by, we get an offer, and the guy comes in, $300,000 cash, no conditions. Zero conditions, and he's not budging one penny more than $300,000. Wow. And it is only worth $300,000. And I said, Tim, it's your call. This is, you know, I says, I'm trying to get you more than $300,000, but the value's not there. And back then, this is before even GTA buyers are coming down and buying up everywhere in the Hamilton and Niagara regions and stuff like that. This is where, you know, you can pretty well tell within $5,000 what that house is worth. So anyway, he takes the $300,000 and very disappointed, but not in me, just disappointed in the other agent and not believing it, being very careful next time. So anyway, he moves into the other house. I do all their family business. I dealt with this family and their family business. And what they do is they appreciate the honesty of me telling them value. And so they know exactly what they're working with. And you don't want to end up buying a house and finding out your house is worth $100,000 less or whatever. And then you're stuck on closing date and the mortgage company's saying, well, you know, like you didn't qualify for that. Like I'm telling you that like moving is one of the most stressful things that happens in people's lives. And it is on the list of most stressful, like, you know, that and having a baby and everything else. So you got to be careful. Make sure you get the right evaluation on your house. I know we list a lot of houses that our clients want to list at their price, but we like to tell them what the market value is. And we try to work with it. We give you the chance at your price. Let's split, but you eventually have to come down if it doesn't sell.
Yeah. And we got about a minute, but there is a psychology to this too, right? If someone hears a number and they start to believe in that number, even though it could be way off, it's hard to get them off that number, isn't it?
It is. And then sometimes I walk into a house and I said, how did you get that number? The realtor told me. And then they tell me we did get an offer, and the offer that they did get is worth what the value of the property is, but they didn't take it because the agent listed at a high number. And
wow.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm telling you, like you live with who you pick out there,
yeah,
I guess.
It's a tough one, that is for sure. When we come back, we're going to dive into how long does it take the average person to buy a home in Hamilton and in Burlington and in Niagara and the GTA? The number might surprise you. That is next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpman Realty, the Golfy team. Find them on the World Wide Web, robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. If you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a home, call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. That's 905-575-7700. So how long does it take the average person to buy a home in Hamilton, Burlington, Niagara, and the GTA? Well, there was a recent study. It looked at housing markets in 20 major cities across this country. And for this survey, it made some assumptions. You know, an annual savings rate of 6.2% of their annual income. The mortgage was calculated with a 25-year amortization period, a fixed 5-year mortgage rate of 4.84%, which is actually a pretty good number. And it found that the average single family home in this country, it would take you about 7.3 years to buy the average home, an average person in Canada. The average price of home right now is $659,000, according to this study. And the person's median income would be around 73 grand. When it comes to Hamilton, the average length of time for the average person to buy a home in this city is 12 years. In Burlington, it's also 12 years. They couple Hamilton and Burlington together. In Niagara, 9.2 years. And in the GTA, 39 years. That's a long time, Rob.
Oh, no kidding. And I believe it because you know what happens? You're paying money for rent, so you're paying somebody else's mortgage off. And then you have that car accident that the insurance company doesn't give you the full value. So So you're losing money there. And then unexpected expenses happen in your life. It is tough. It is tough to save. And like in the GTA, 39 years, I believe it. Yeah, because we deal with some buyers that like they're buying their first home in their 40s. And sometimes in their 50s, mm-hmm. like it's like, and they're like excited and I'm feeling happy for them, but sad for them that it took this long for them to buy a house. And it's just because of the economy that we live in. We live in one of the most expensive countries in the world and that's how long it takes. And meanwhile, from the day they started saving, let's say 39 years ago, or let's say even 15 years ago, house prices were like $200,000-$300,000. Now they're like $800,000. Like, mm-hmm. like as they're saving, it's just not kept. Like, it's just the level of the values going up is not the same as the savings is, and it's just tough. I get it. I feel sorry for people. Sometimes, you know, you got to beg, borrow, and steal it, you know, just to get a house in your name. And if you can do that, then you stopped the inflation of you watching inflation. Now you're in that inflation and you're part of the inflation of building equity on your house. But yeah, it's a tough country to live. I remember struggling and thinking how expensive when I was in my 20s, you know, trying to get going and this and that. I knew I felt the pain of cost of living and making money and it's gone. Like you get the check and it's gone and you're like, oh my, I don't have that much left from the paycheck. I've been there.
Yeah, and again, this report is assuming, you know, just for this calculation, an annual savings rate of 6%. So I'm not sure how many people put away 6% of their annual income on an annual basis. That number might be a smidge high. But again, for the Hamilton-Burlington region, the average person would require just over 12 years to save a minimum down payment of $57,055. So it would take them 12 years to get that down payment. In Vancouver, Greater Vancouver, Rob, it would take you 50 years to save the minimum down payment required of $250,000 with an average single family home in January of 2024 being $1.25 million. 50 years!
Yeah, you might as well just give up before you start. Yeah, like it's just not going to 50, and it is. I'm telling you, I've had people looking for houses and they're older. So
yeah, it's pretty,
it's tough.
It's pretty strange. On the other end of the equation, Regina, Saskatchewan is, I guess, the best chance for you or the lowest amount of years it would take you to save for a minimum down payment. Average price in Regina, $282,000, which seems like a steal. Minimum down payment required just over $10,000, almost $11,000. The median total household income is $79,000, which is higher than the Niagara region of 71 and higher than Hamilton Burlington area of $76,000. So you make more money in Regina, you require a less down payment because the homes are so much cheaper, and it takes 2.2 years to save up enough money for that down payment. Regina's the place to be, apparently.
That is, if you like the cold weather.
Yeah, well, we live in Canada and some people do, but there's a good example of how this country is so so different in terms of region to region. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you know what, maybe we'll talk about mortgage rates, because this is an interesting question that some people are asking, whether or not we should embrace the 30-year mortgage. That's coming up next here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team, the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. Call them today to get your home sold, or if you're in the market to buy a house, 905-575-7700, 905-575-7700. The website is robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. And check out their awesome content on TikTok, Facebook, X, and Instagram. Let's talk mortgages. Is it time for Canada to embrace the 30-year mortgage? Right now, we have 25-year amortizations. I know in some cases you can get 30, maybe even 40, if that is an option with different kind of lenders. Where do you stand on this? And could this make home buying a little more incentivized?
You know what? I think they may have to, but they're afraid to, because if they do that, it may stir up the market even more. It's in some countries they do, and I think in England, I think their amortization's even greater than that.
Yes.
I think it's even up to 100 years, yep, isn't it? In England, and basically, they just pass down the mortgage down to the next generation of their kids, just so that it's affordable rate, because England, it is expensive there. But I think they need to do it, and it's probably been on in the boardroom tables with Bank of Canada, or with CMHC or whatever, and they may have to, just so people can afford, but they're being very careful on making that decision. And I think they got to look at that. That's definitely something that has to look at. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we're in a major crisis with, not enough homes. So if they bring that in, then they're going to just drive the prices up more. It's just, we don't know what to do. Like we're stuck. We're stuck in this country trying to figure out how to keep housing down without having it boom again like it did in 2020, 21 and 22.
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, if you could lock in a rate for 30 years, which, some countries, as you mentioned, England, you can lock in for a great amount of time. Do you think most Canadians would do so?
They would. So, for instance, in the U.S., I think you can lock in for 25 years. Let's say you had a mortgage at 2%. You could lock in for 25 years at 2%. People do not move. They might get a job, get a job offer in a different city, and they're saying, "Nope, I'm not leaving because my mortgage is cheap here." Okay, yeah, I might make another 30 grand more there or 50. That means, but I have to get a brand new mortgage at the current rates and all that kind of stuff. So the U.S., I mean, they've got it's a good thing. Like if you get a mortgage at 2-3%. And you get that same interest rate for 25 years, man, I wouldn't move either. Like I would keep that house forever. There's no way I would move. And they have that in the U.S. And if we were able to lock in a mortgage for 25 years, you would see less people move. They wouldn't be moving as much because like the people that locked in, let's say for 5 years at 1.5-2% now, the mortgage is coming up. They may move, they may not, but if their mortgage is coming, like if their mortgage wasn't coming up, they're not moving. They're staying. You know what I mean? Like, so Like every country's got different rules and stuff like that. But I know here in Canada, you know, they've got to do something. They got to do something about interest rates. They got to do something about amortization. They got to do something about housing. It is an ugly situation out there for Canadians.
Before we go, I do want to mention the Garden Suites. They were heavily promoted at the National Home Show in Toronto for the last couple of weeks. Not a lot of them are kind of being built or installed in people's properties. Are we seeing any of these in Hamilton?
I maybe the odd one, but not much. You know what? It's the bureaucracy of dealing with City Hall and trying to get things going. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like in Toronto, they said there was only six actually been
in the
done.
Last 2 years.
You would think there'd be more than that. Like people would take advantage of it and rent it out, but maybe it's too expensive. You know, it is expensive because you got to run a sewer line to that unit.
Yeah.
So you got to dig up the whole side of the yard or connect somewhere and do all the electrical and everything. So it probably is too expensive. But I think down the road, you're going to see builders build homes with garden suites in the back. There's going to be a subdivision of that. You got your house and then you got the garden suite. And it's easier to do when you have a brand new subdivision, you know, the sewers, you can dig up the property, dig up the lines and everything. But I see that happening in the future. The only issue is just the parking, because the lots are not that big out there anymore. I mean, builders are building 30-foot wide lots, and can you fit a garden suite back there? I don't know. That's like, you know.
That's a good question. And from a value standpoint, just like, a basement apartment, you know, a garden suite would probably add a little more value to a property.
Absolutely. You know what? There's so many bungalows out there that have lot sizes like 50, 60, 70 foot wide by 120 feet deep. Mm-hmm. You could put a garden suite at the back of those like crazy. They'd be easy. You just get a crane, drop it in there and build a foundation and all that kind of stuff. It'd be perfect opportunity if it's allowed in whatever municipality or city that you're in.
That's a good point. You can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for The Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Thank you for listening to The Golfy Real Estate Show. We are back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.